I am yours and you are mine. Philippians, if you want to turn there, please. We'll be in the first chapter again. As you are turning there, let me pray. Father, I again just ask for your presence today, Father. I pray you will hide me behind your cross. Father, my prayer is that we will be good listeners, Father. I believe there's a reason why every person is here today. Because this message, I think, will speak to all of us. As a matter of fact, I know it will. So God, we thank you for that. We ask that you will speak loud and clear, and we'll have ears to hear and a heart to accept. We love you, Lord. We thank you. I'm thankful that you are mine and I am yours. Father, in your name I pray. Amen. Title lesson is Spiritual Maturity in Deep Waters. Spiritual Maturity in Deep Waters. As we began our deep dive into the book of Philippians, and we'll, I think, spend some time here in this book. It's such book is so rich with God's Word. We looked at spiritual maturity last week, marks of it, marks of spiritual maturity, where we said a thankful heart is a mark of spiritual maturity. We said being strong in your prayer life is a mark of spiritual maturity. We said that having biblical joy, not worldly joy, but biblical joy, mark of spiritual maturity. To love the Lord with all your heart and soul and your mind, and loving others, spiritual maturity. Desiring and wanting to have fellowship with other believers, spiritual maturity. Confidence in God's promises. Willing to stand on God's promises when it seems that there is no reason to stand on them. But you choose to stand anyway and follow what His promises say. That's spiritual maturity. And then living a righteous life, trying to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And I know, and you know, that sometimes life can be difficult. I mean, we are growing in our spiritual maturity, but there's sometimes things just come into our life that smack us down, that want to pull us away from our faith, that wants to defeat us as we walk with the Lord. And we know that life can be very difficult. And I hope today the message will help us to learn how to live above those circumstances that come into our life that want to shake our faith, to live above them and also to continue to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Continue to live a life that we choose to spread the gospel, that we choose to be a light in somebody's dark world. We choose to be a light that says, hey, there is a better way in life, even though our circumstances are not very good. And I hope that's where the lesson and the message will go today. That we can have spiritual maturity in the deep waters of life. Let's look at Philippians 1. Starting in verse 12. We're going to read 12, 13, and 14. Let's see what it has to say to us. Now, I want you to know, Paul would write, brethren, that's Christian believers as brethren, Christian believers, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Paul is a guy that hit many dark times in his life. Paul had lots of things that has happened to him. Paul has been in the deep waters of life more than once. You can read in 2 Corinthians how it says five times he was beaten, 39 times each time, all because he was a Christian. It says three times he was shipwrecked, which could have cost him his life. The Bible says three times they tried to kill him. One time it says he was stoned to death. Where they accomplished that, God brought him back to life. And he said over and over and over in his life, he had dangers wherever he went. He had dangers with fellow countrymen. He had dangers with the Gentiles and the Jews. He had dangers on the roads that he went. He had dangers wherever he stood. He was surrounded with dangerous kinds of things. He knew about the deep waters of life. The Bible says, I understood, Paul said, that of what it means to be cold at night because I had no place to sleep. He knew what it meant to be hungry because at times he had no food. He knew what it meant to have a thorn in his side that kept him humble. Yeah, he knew about the dark waters of life. And here we find, as he's writing the Philippians here, we find him in a Roman jail, handcuffed to a guard 24/7. Handcuffed to a guard. Everywhere he went in that cell and where he was, the guard went with him. Boy, that would have been fun. And there he sat in this Roman prison, being falsely accused because of the gospel. He didn't deserve to be in prison, wasn't supposed to be in prison. But somebody made up a few lies about him. And those lies trumped his innocence. And there he was sitting there waiting for the Roman Emperor Nero to hear his case. And if you know anything about Nero, he wasn't buddies with the Christians, was he? Matter of fact, the Bible says he lit up Rome by putting Christians on the stake and lighting them afire. And here Paul sits for 2 years, waiting to find out his verdict. Whether or not he will live another day or die on that day, he didn't know, but he had 2 years to wait. I believe he understood what it meant to be in dark and deep waters. Isaiah would say it this way, Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. Great verses. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overthrow you or drown you, is what it says. When you walk through the fires, you will not be scorched, neither will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. See, I think Paul knew that. I think Paul knew that verse as he was going through the deep waters and the fires of life. He knew that God would be with him because he had committed his life to that. You know, we look at the scriptures and we find nowhere in the scriptures that Paul, because of his circumstances, his unfair circumstances, that he ever was griping or complaining. We don't ever find it. We find nowhere where he questioned God about, why am I doing here? What am I doing in this prison? Why have I been shipwrecked for the third time? Why are they beating on me again? We don't find any of that in the scriptures. We don't find him whining or criticizing or feeling sorry for himself. We never see him as he just fell apart. We never saw him curse God and question his faith. And if everybody had a chance to do that, obviously it would have been Paul. You see, the Apostle Paul did not see himself as a prisoner of Rome. He saw himself as a prisoner for Christ. He didn't see himself as a victim. He saw himself as a conqueror for Christ. He didn't have to get angry at God, because the Bible says he was an ambassador for Christ. You see, Paul's mindset was, I am your servant, Christ. I will live how you want me to live. What an attitude that he has here as he's sitting in this jail and he's in the waters of life have overtaken him. And look what he says is the greatness of where he is at this time. He's not talking about, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, 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 get me out of here. No, look what he says. The last part of verse 12, look what he says. For my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. My situation that I'm in will lead to the furtherance of the gospel. How many of you thought that when you were in a deep water of life? That what I am dealing with, I believe, will further the gospel. I can't put my hand up on that either. But that's what Paul is saying. I want the gospel to be furthered. The second thing he says there in verse 13 about that, he says, so that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ, that's why he's in prison, has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Can you imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul 24/7? And just listening to the Apostle Paul as he was talking to the guy, the guard that sat next to him. Can you imagine? I bet that guard got an earful of the gospel. I bet he heard it. And the Bible says he heard it, and every guard that came with him heard it. Every prisoner in that prison heard the gospel. He wasn't going to be quiet about it. He wasn't going to moan and groan and pout about it. He was called to tell the world about the gospel. And in his situation, which was not pleasant for any of us and wasn't pleasant for him, but I guarantee you, folks in that prison got saved because he wasn't worried about himself. He was worrying about the gospel of Christ. What a mindset when we go through dark waters and deep waters. And then we see in verse 14, and it says, and most of the brethren, or most of the Christians that he knows, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. His example and the way he was leading his life, even in prison, caused other believers to go, wow, if he can do it, I can do it. If he can stand up against being falsely accused and ridiculed and rejected, you know, I think I can do that too. You see, what an example he's setting. He wasn't going to let prison, he wasn't going to let deep waters, he wasn't going to let trials and struggles affect his faith. Matter of fact, it made him trust, I believe, the Lord even more. Just like what we sang about today, I believe he trusted the Lord even more because of the circumstance that he was in. Is that a characteristic of you and or me? I don't know. I look at myself and boy, I don't know. But you see, Paul's setting an example for them there, and he's setting an example for us. That when we're going through difficult times, we truly can focus on the Lord. It is possible, Paul, I think, would show us that we possibly can stand strong no matter what we are dealing with. As believers, we must never let circumstances get us down or destroy our testimony, because it very easily could happen that way. Paul's mindset was, I'm all in for the Lord, no matter what. And you know, you say, well, that's the Apostle Paul. You know, he was supernatural. He was better than us. He was more spiritual than us. No. He was a man who lived an extremely sinful life, and he got saved. He is no better than us. God didn't really want to just bless him more than anybody else. But you see, when he got saved, something happened in his life. He got changed from the inside out. He no longer lived for himself, and we'll see this next week, but he lived for Christ. And no matter what came down the road for him, he was living for Christ and not himself. What a great mindset. If we are living for Christ, we know that God is in control. Do you understand that? If we are living for God, if we've been born again, we know for the fact that God is in control of this life, your life, the whole world. He is in control. He knows what he's doing. You might not agree with it, but he's in control. And if you are living for Christ, did you know that he has a plan for your life? And sometimes he allows things to come into our life that are not pleasant. You go back and read the book of Job, where he allowed the enemy to come in and do some things to Job. And God allowed it, wanting Job to learn to trust him more, to be obedient to him more, to understand who God is in Job's life. And eventually Job got it. But sometimes God brings things into our life himself. You read Hebrews 12, and it says, if you have been born again, if you're one of the children of God, it says, God will bring chastisement and or discipline in your life. He'll bring things into your life to either to test you or to grow your trust in him, to mature you, to make you more like his son Christ. And so many times when things happen in our lives, and we blame the enemy because of that. The devil's brought that to me. Well, no, not necessarily. God says, I will bring whatever I need to bring into your life, Christian, in order to get you back on the right road, to get you back to a person that looks like my son, who trusts me and has faith in me. Yeah, he will do that. And it really doesn't make any difference in a lot of ways, because in a way, God doesn't really care what you do with your life. We're not all preachers. We're not all teachers. We're not all music leaders, whatever. I mean, a lot of us are just we work all kind of different jobs. We might be a welder, might be an electrician, might be a plumber, might be a school teacher. We might be, just name it. And God has blessed you with the abilities to do those things. But it's not so much where you are at as you live your life and how you're making a living. It's, are you being that Christian believer in whatever you do? Are you living your life, whatever job and occupation you might have, are you living a life that reflects Christ in your life? That's God's will for you. No matter where you've been planted, are you a light in a dark world? Are you living a life worthy of the calling? I believe that is God's will for you. Not so much the job, how you live within that job. We also know, if we're living for Christ, that he will strengthen you to bear up with any issue that you might have. Any dark water that you might find yourself in, he will give you the strength to do that. The verse I love is Psalms 46:1 and part of 2. where it says, God is my refuge. God is my Frady hole. God is my storm cellar. God is where I can run for protection. God is my refuge and my strength when I need Him. He is my present help in time of trouble. Therefore, it says, I will not fear when the earth changes. What does that mean? When you find yourselves in the deep waters of life, that is earth changing, the struggles of life. Therefore, I do not have to fear, because He is my hiding spot, He is my strength, and He is my help whenever I'm trying to tread water in those dark and deep waters of life. What a great promise that we see there in His Word. Buy into that. Stand on it. Trust in that. And then if we are living for Christ, we are victors over the deep water. We can have victory over the deep water that we're in. Romans 8:37 says it this way. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors, or more than conquerors, through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors, no matter what situation we find yourself. We can't allow circumstances to discourage us, but they can encourage us, because we are built up in the Lord. You see, Paul would say, because of my circumstances, I am the example that people need to see and to hear of Christ. Because of where I'm at, other people are being stronger and lifted up and encouraged to walk the Christian life. And I would just tell you that I believe it applies to all of us. When we find ourselves in those kind of situations, and we really do love the Lord and we really seek Him during those very difficult times in life, I can promise you other people are seeing how you act and react during that time. And you can be a great encouragement, just like Paul said, you can be a great encouragement to somebody as they look at you and they see your faith and your trust in the Lord. And they go, wow, if Paul can do it, I can do it. If you can do it, then maybe somebody else can do it. You are an encouragement to other people if you just do what Paul is telling us to do, to trust Him in the deep waters of life. James 1, 2, and 4 says it this way. I love this part too. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Yeah. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect, that word perfect means maturing, result. So that you may be perfect, mature, and complete in nothing. Paul says, yeah, you're going to have issues. Consider it all joy, my friend. Because God can take something bad and make something very good. And you can be a great example for others. Well, how does Paul get to that point in his life? How does Paul get to the point where he goes, man, I trust the Lord. I have faith in Him. I know He's going to deliver me, yada, yada. I know He's going to have it. How does he get there? Is it just because he is tougher than anybody else? Is it because he's ever more spiritual than anybody else? That maybe he knows more Bible than anybody else? That's why he can navigate these deep waters of life? No. Look what it says. Look what it says there in verse 19. He says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Whatever he's dealing with, he said, I'll be delivered from it. Because through your prayers and provisions of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. Paul was confident that he'd have victory wherever he was going because he had people praying for him. He knew the church of Philippi was praying for him. He knew it. He knew people around the world were praying for him. He knew that God hears the prayers of the righteous, of his children. He knew that. He knew that God would answer the prayers of the righteous. He knew that. And he knew he had a bond, a circle of friends that were petitioning the Lord on his behalf from his church at Philippi. What a great thing. You know, the Bible tells us the prayers of a righteous man can availeth much. Paul knew that there was righteous men and ladies in that church of Philippi that would spend time praying for his situation. And because he knew they were praying for his situation, that it says what? That this circumstance would turn out for my deliverance. Whatever that might be. Whatever that deliverance might be, he just knew. And just kind of just throw this back in here real quick. That's the kind of church that I want for Arapahoe Baptist Church. That we're people of prayer. That we pray for each other. We find out if somebody is struggling a little bit, we take their name to the Lord all the time. Not just once, but we persistently take it to the Lord. Well, we don't even know what's going on in a person's life, but that person sits on the same pew that I sit almost every Sunday. I don't know what's going on with them, but you know what? I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them. Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, the Holy Spirit says, I will intercede when you don't know how to pray. I'll teach you how to pray about that person. We need to be a people of prayer, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, because I believe that's what Paul said we are to be, people of prayer. He gained great strength from the prayers of other people. And the second thing he said, how am I going to get through this deep water of life? Well, what does he say in the last 19? Through the provisions of the Spirit of God, because he would say of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If we've been born again, the Holy Spirit lives within inside us. And the Bible tells us that the same Spirit that lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead. That's powerful. God living inside of us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us. And every born again believer has the Holy Spirit. Well, how would the Holy Spirit help him as he sat in prison for 2 years? How would the Holy Spirit help you if you're in the deep waters of life? Well, let me just give you a few hints, okay, about the Holy Spirit. Because he believed through prayer and the Holy Spirit is how he would be delivered. How he would swim out of the deep waters and end up in the valley of good. Well, the first thing that we see here, the Holy Spirit is our helper. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. When we go through the dark waters of life, he is our helper. And that word helper can be comforter also. It could mean that also. When we go through the dark waters of life, he is our counselor and our comforter. John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, when the Lord will send in my name, and he will teach you things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things of God's word, and he'll speak truth to you. When you're drowning in deep waters, he will teach you biblical truth to encourage you to keep swimming. I believe when we're in the dark, deep waters of life, he brings conviction over our sin. Even then, we know we are convicted because he wants to take us down the right path, not the bad path, not the ugly path. John 16:8, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit, when we are struggling with life, shares the true gospel, the truth of God to us. 1 Corinthians 2:10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. You want to understand what God is wanting? The Holy Spirit searches the depths and the truths of God. For his own good? No. So that he can teach you the depths and the truths that God wants us to know. Deep waters are hard, but we can find the truth from God's word. in deep waters. He prays for us and helps us how to pray. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses. We do not know how to pray sometimes, do we? As we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When you are in the deep waters of life and you've got nobody else praying for you, guess who's praying for you? The Holy Spirit is interceding for you. And just a little footnote, so is Jesus, the Bible says, interceding for you. Don't give up. Hang in there. Keep going. You got the Holy Spirit on your side. And when we go through the storms of life, He gives us assurance of our eternal hope in glory. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we also may be glorified with Him. We might suffer some because of our faith. Probably will one of these days. Probably be in that deep, deep, deep water. But He said when we suffer and deal with those kind of things in Christ, what does it say? We will also be glorified with Him. How can the deep waters face it like Paul? Paul didn't let his struggles stop him from spreading the gospel. And you and I, all of us in here, are called to do that. His deep waters didn't stop him from doing that. He knew that whatever life dealt him, whatever hand he had, that Romans 8:28 applies to him and to us. God will take it and make it for our good and for His glory. And I think by writing this, Paul is saying, if I can do this, if I can pass through the struggles, I'm innocent, but still I'm in prison. It's possible for you too to do the same thing. It's possible for you too to keep your faith. It's possible that you keep your trust. It's possible that you'll trust and obey even during the darkest times in your life. Paul said, I did it. You can do it. Because if we have people praying for us, and if we have the Holy Spirit interceding for us, Paul said, I rest assured that I will be delivered, whatever deliverance is, because of this faith and because of what people are doing. In closing, I will say this. Paul was setting an example for us, okay? Setting an example, said it can be done. And the only way he is setting the proper example was he was following the example of Christ, okay? He looked at Christ and saw how Christ, when Christ was in the deep waters of life, he saw how Christ handled that. And he wanted to mirror his life because of that. And he saw this example of Christ and he said, I want to live that same example so that people at Philippi and people at Arapahoe First Baptist Church and around the world will see the example I set by setting my example on Christ. And I believe it will help them and encourage them when they're swimming in the deep end of life. So, we see Paul's example based on Christ's example, who encourages us to live a life. Even though life is hard, life is a struggle, that we can remain faithful, we can spread the gospel. It is possible to do that and not whine and complain about it. That's all I got as we begin our invitation time. Anybody in the deep waters of life? There you go. And most of you go, I'm not. I'm not there. I'm not in those deep waters. Great. But I believe you will be. not to throw any water on that, but you will be. We all have. You want to have spiritual maturity? That's how you have it. when you go through the deep waters of life. Don't let that stop your faith and your trust. Don't let that stop how you live in front of other people. It's possible not to, according to Paul. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, you do business with the Lord however he has instructed you today. If he's convicted you about something, do it. If you need the Lord, come get him. If you have failed in the deep waters of life, that's okay. Confess it. Let him forgive you and clean it up. You talk to the Lord right now as the piano plays.